JFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.
10:30 in the morning and you tuned in to UJFM Brunch. My name is Gwanda and I've got BK as well as Mashwadi Daba on the news desk. Like I said earlier on, we're launching something new right here on UJFM Brunch. First of its kind, it's the Know My MEC series. And I'm super excited this morning to be joined by an esteemed guest. She currently holds the position of Acting Deputy Vice Chancellor for Research and Internationalization at the University of Johannesburg. And she also serves as a Professor of Teacher Education and Development. So previously, she served as the Dean of the Faculty of Education here at UJ for a 15-year period, which concluded in December 2021. So throughout her career, her research has encompassed various areas, including dialogic teaching, the design of learning environments within higher and adult education, as well as teacher education. She's recognized in her field as a South African National Research Foundation rated researcher. And additionally, she holds membership in the Academy of Science of South Africa. Her name is Prof. Sarah Gravett, and she's joining us in studio this morning to kick off our brand new Know My MEC radio series. Prof, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely.
And I'm honored to be the first one.
Absolutely. We're so excited to have you this morning. I mean, we've got your picture on our big screen here in studio, so it's absolutely exciting. I want to kick it off by getting into your academic career. Let's talk a little bit more about your brief overview of your academic career, academic background rather, and the journey that led you to this current position and where you're at right now.
Sure. I was a school teacher for many years, high school teacher, really loved teaching, but always had the view that I would like to work at a university. And then in 1992, that's a long time ago, I joined the former RAU.
Okay.
And I joined the former RAU as a researcher. Later, I moved to the Faculty of Education as a lecturer and eventually became associate professor. Professor was head of department for several years, was a vice dean there. And when UJ was established, I had the privilege to be the first dean then of the Faculty of Education at the University of Johannesburg. And I was there for 15 years. You know, when I joined, I thought 5 years, because that's the contract, and 5 years is a long time. It's not. Before you know, you've done 5 years. And because it was a new university, you know, we started with many, many new projects. And therefore, when the council of the university invited me to make myself available for a second term, I was quite happy to embrace it because I wanted to see these programs moving forward and being successful. And as I said, I thought it would be 5 years. I stayed for 15 years. And then I finished as Dean of the Faculty of Education. But I had a fallback position within the university, which means you can go back to your old position before you took up management. And I really, really wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a professor again, working full-time with students, enjoying the research that I was planning. I did research while I was dean, but I couldn't really spend enough time. And I went back to the faculty, but then I was requested by the vice chancellor to stand in when the DVC for Research and Internationalization resigned. I thought it would be only for a small time, a few months, but it's been for a while now. So though I'm sorry that I aren't able to spend the time with my students that I envisaged, I still have students, I do postgraduate supervision. I love you, Jay.
Of course.
And when the vice chancellor asked, will you help me? I said, I am available to serve you, Jay.
Absolutely incredible. Now, Prof, you mentioned earlier on that you started off as a high school teacher.
Yes.
Let's talk about the inspiration behind pursuing a career in education.
Yeah. Interesting story. There was no inspiration.
Okay.
Let me explain to you. My parents couldn't afford to send me to university, but they were very good bursaries for teachers. And I decided I really don't want to be a teacher. It's not glamorous, you know.
Of
teaching
course.
Is not glamorous. I will go to university, studied to become a teacher, but I first did a bachelor's degree and afterwards then the teaching diploma. And then we had to work time back for, if you, bursary was 4 years, you had to work 4 years again.
Years,
and I thought, I will do the 4 years and I will leave and I will go and do something else, which is much more glamorous. Lo and behold, I loved teaching. I really, really loved being a teacher. So I stayed in teaching. And then, of course, I had the opportunity then also to stay in teaching, but at a university level. Mm. And I still love it. When I refer to myself also on Twitter, I say I'm a teacher at heart, and I will always be.
Absolutely incredible. Listen, we've just kicked off the interview, but already, Prof, your story is absolutely inspiring. Let's hear from our friends in FNB as well as our Vice Chancellor and get back to more questions.
UJFM.
It's the Friday edition of UJFM Brunch. And if you just joined us, we're joined in studio by Prof Sarah Gravett, the Acting Deputy Vice Chancellor for Research and Internationalization at the University of Johannesburg.
Now, Prof, just as Gwenda just mentioned, you are currently the Acting Vice Chancellor of Research and Internationalization here at the University of Johannesburg. So I would like to know how you actually try to balance your roles as a researcher, educator, and just everything else that you do in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Okay, I'm the Deputy Vice Chancellor.
Okay.
That's important. We have only one Vice Chancellor, and that is Professor Mpedi.
Definitely.
Deputy Vice Chancellor, yes. I think important, if one wants to deal with different roles and you want to do them all justice, is very good planning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also prioritizing. So it is important for me on a weekly basis to look at my week and decide what are the absolute crucial things this week. And there are certain things that you must do. There are certain meetings that you must chair, etc. So you must get an overview of your week. I sometimes do it even longer, 2 weeks, to get a sense. Then you prioritize. And then what I also then do is block out time in my diary whenever possible for those unforeseen things, things that come in and that you must do. And also to ensure that in all of this, I don't neglect my students because I love them. They must get good quality supervision. But it would mean that they also have to understand that we must be a little bit more disciplined than we were when I was not a DVC. So they must also understand deadlines are deadlines because I put time aside to read their work and to give them feedback. And if they miss a deadline, it makes life very complicated. Mm-hmm. So it's about planning. It's about prioritization.
Now, what I find more interesting, Prof, is that you are currently the author and co-author of such numerous books and articles on teaching and learning, as well as teacher education and many other themes. So let's talk about some of the key research projects or studies that you have actually been involved in and how have they just contributed to your field.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Teacher education, as was mentioned, I started off with higher education as field of specialization. But because teacher education is part of higher education, I don't see them as separate. I think my major work for many, many years related to the school that we started on our Soweto campus,
yes,
the Funda Ujabule School, when UJ was established. This became, for me, an extremely important project, but it was also my research focus for many years. And maybe I should explain. Yes, it's a school for the children of Soweto. It's a primary school where children in Soweto, close to the campus, can come to school. But more importantly, it is also a facility in which we train teachers. You know, as you have teaching hospitals to train nurses and medical doctors, we have a teaching school where we train then teachers. And it's also a research site. So for many years, that was my main focus, to understand how one can optimize the work that we do in the Funda Ujabule School to support teacher education in the country. And I published very, very widely on that. That was very gratifying. Recently, I embarked on a few other projects that I really love. The one is on understanding the signs of learning. Much has been done in the recent years about understanding how the brain functions, mm-hmm. how the brain could be harnessed, if you want to use that word in inverted commas, optimally for learning, etc., and what that means for teaching. So we have had a, and we're still busy with that work, a very important project on seeing how we can bring in the science of learning into teacher education. Another project that I've been working on, together with colleagues, of course, all of this is always done with other colleagues, is about the change that is going to be introduced in the country in terms of the school curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's not overhauling the school curriculum at all. It is bringing into the school curriculum more intentionally and explicitly critical skills that children must learn. So I have been involved in research around this, and I've also been involved in many of the conversations from the Department of Basic Education on this. And then three others. The one is coding and robotics for teachers, which is a lovely project. We were also privileged to be funded for the last 2 years by the LEGO Foundation. So we're teaching our student teachers, and now we have a program for in-service teachers, how to use coding and robotics in their teaching. And it's it's creative, it's fun, it's joyful. Really lovely. Mm-hmm. Then related in a sense to this, but also separate, is how to optimize play in learning. Okay. That because when one enjoys what you do, and if you bring playfulness in, it also opens your neural pathways in your brain and you're more susceptible to learning. So I had a wonderful PhD student. She is graduating next week who did a study on this. And then very recently at our Soweto campus at the Funda Ujabuli School, we added a so-called maker space. Okay. Lovely space where we also involve our student teachers to understand how can you use making in your own classrooms. So it's bringing in also hands activities together with mind activities. And I would always say you must combine in teaching hand, if possible, when possible, heart and mind. Mm-hmm. So these are my current projects that I am working on.
Absolutely incredible, Prof. You mentioned something around science, incorporation of science in teacher education. Mm-hmm. I want to delve more into that. Let's talk about the creative coding and educational robotics for teachers. How has that process of implementation been so far?
Yeah. Okay, let me just be clear. It's science of learning.
Okay.
So it's, in other words, to understand how learning works and to ensure then that we teach in a way that will optimize learning, that will enable learning. So the coding and robotics project has been accepted very, very positively. And again, I have wonderful colleagues who do this work that I work with. And I must always say, without a good team, you can't really be successful. And I've been blessed with wonderful colleagues working in this teams. The coding started in a very small way during COVID. We wanted to introduce coding and robotics into our teacher education programs, but in COVID, my one colleague he has a very good relationship with students, and students said, we want to do something. We're alone at home. And he informally started working online with him on coding. And then we thought, wow, this is working amazingly well. And then after COVID, we took it to scale, involving many more students. But it remained online because we actually found it was quite successful online. Mm-hmm. And when you have it online, it means you can involve many more students and they don't need to come to campus. They can sit at home and do the work on coding and robotics. And because our work with the pre-service teacher education students that we started with were very successful, we then also designed a course for in-service teachers, and this course is being offered once a year, and it's very popular.
Absolutely incredible. We're chatting to Prof. Sarah Gravett this morning on the Know My MEC radio series right here on UJFM Brunch. If you have any questions for her, do send them through on our studio line 011-559-1652. Our WhatsApp line is
081-72-55-228. UJFM.
Hanging out with Prof. Sarah Gravett this morning on UJFM Brunch. We're talking all things teacher education this morning for the Know My MEC radio series. Prof, I have to say, out of all the things that you've mentioned this morning, you are a pioneer in your field. And I have to give you your credits. I have to give you your flowers this morning, because the work that you've done over the time that you've spent in your career field is absolutely incredible. I understand, PK, you've got some questions on your side as well.
Yes, definitely. Now, Prof, you definitely did talk about some creative coding as well as educational robotics, rather. So I just want to understand, how do you actually try to navigate the ever-changing landscape of academia and you just stay abreast of new developments and trends that tend to happen in your field?
Yeah. An academic, a good academic, remains curious. Mm. That's so important, to be curious and to constantly explore. What are new vistas? What are new possibilities? Keeping what works. One should not throw out what works, but also understanding that the world is changing incredibly fast, and so education is also changing. And it is our responsibility to ensure that we are aware of the changes that take place in the world and that we act accordingly. I could also, for instance, mention, you know, with the with generative artificial intelligence such as ChatGPT taking over the world, I'm working with colleagues now also on researching how to incorporate ChatGPT in teacher education, because we would be irresponsible not to prepare our students for the fast-changing world, including artificial intelligence, and therefore we need then to embark on new journeys all the time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Now, I think I want to just keep it light this time. I want to know, what are some of the most proudest moments or accomplishments that you've actually managed to accomplish in your career that you'd like to highlight for our branches who are listening right now?
Yeah. I think establishing the school was really, really a highlight. It gave me lots and lots of gray hair. That I must also say. But it was incredible when I came up with this idea, and our vice chancellor at that stage was Prof. Irene Rensburg. He was open to the idea. And also the MEC of Education in Gauteng at that stage was the current Minister of Education, Minister Mocheka. And both of them said, wow, go for it. Well, and then we had to make it work. Mm-hmm. So the go for it was the first step. So it's been really a challenging journey, but it's an amazing journey. And when I see the impact on the children that we are in the school, and also the work that is being done in the school, I'm immensely proud. Mm-hmm. Last week, in fact, the Director General of UNESCO visited the school because she was told, I think, by Prof. Rensburg about this excellent school, and maybe even Minister Mocheka. And she came to see what work we are doing. And the school was invited to become a UNESCO associated school.
Wow.
Now, that's amazing. That's really lovely. But then also, I really enjoyed being a dean. It's not always easy. But when you are in a dean position, you are able to open doors for other people, to support staff also in their endeavors, and to come up with bright ideas, bright ideas, mm-hmm, in inverted commas. But my colleagues who worked very closely with me used to tease me to say, I shouldn't be not sleeping well. If I had a sleepless night, they would know there's a new plan coming their way tomorrow. And then currently, I am very much also enjoying what I'm doing currently. It's something totally different. It has some similarities to being a dean. But the joy that I have at the moment is that I'm interacting with many people within the university, many staff members, and I get to know incredible people within the university that I would probably have never encountered if I were not in this current role.
That's absolutely incredible, Prof. Let's talk about the mentorship and the mentor-mentee relationship. How has that contributed to your success in your career and in the career field that you're in right now?
Yeah. You know, when I started at the university, it was another time. There weren't many senior women at all in professorships or in management positions. It was all male-dominated, very much so. So I didn't really have a mentor in the traditional sense of the word because there were no others really in senior positions to mentor you. But here I must say, I had some very good men in my life. Working at the university at that stage, you maybe saw my potential and you really gave me excellent support. So ideally, it would have been lovely to have a woman mentoring me also, but that was not the situation at that stage. What we did with some colleagues, we mentored each other. Women colleagues. So we would, you know, help each other, support each other and that was incredibly useful. Mm-hmm. Now for me, it's extremely important to be a mentor. I work with, as I said, postgraduate students, but many of them are also staff members at UJ, embarking on their careers. And it gives me so much joy to work with them, yes, as a master's or PhD student, but to give them more, not just be their supervisor, but maybe also help them to navigate what it means to be an academic, because it's very difficult to find your way if you don't have other people who can show you the way. You find it eventually, but why should you struggle? Mm. And that is for me also one of the things that give me great joy in my life is to mentor more junior academics.
I love that mentor-mentee relationship that you have with your postgraduate students. I want to talk about how you, what's your definition of success in your career life?
Success for me is that I would be able, I hope, to sit one day on my veranda, look back at my life and say, I made a difference. Mm. That for me is ultimate success. It is about, did I use whatever I could to influence where I had a sphere of influence? We can't change the world.
Of course.
But we can change and contribute to improvement in our small sphere of influence. Mm. And that for me is crucially important, that I can say I made a positive difference in the lives of others. Secondly, I think success is about experiencing meaning in what you are doing. Mm. If your work is not meaningful to you in some way, it's very difficult to love your job. And I've been loving everything that I did because I found meaning in what I do. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, is success.
That's absolutely incredible, Prof. I want to wrap it up because we've got like 4 minutes before the top of the hour. I want to wrap it up by throwing it over to our resident news anchor, Mashudu. She is a teacher in training. She's doing her final year at the University of Johannesburg. And I feel like this question is very fitting for her. Mash?
Yeah, thank you, Gwanda. So this question is for me and potentially another student teacher listening out there. What advice would you give to an aspiring researcher or educator who are looking to make a difference in their respective careers?
Yeah. Firstly, one must also understand, and it also links to the previous question, hard work. Mm. There's no success without hard work. And, you know, I sometimes get the impression that some people think success will happen. You make success. Mm-hmm. And that is the first thing. Be committed to what you are doing. Work hard and be ethical in everything that you are doing. And try to love what you do. Mm-hmm. And it's also a choice sometimes, eh? One could say, oh, I have all these terrible things that I must do. Administration, I know. I also hated administration. I never liked it, but it's part of the job. But put it in perspective always for yourself and say, yes, there are aspects of what I must do or that I don't like. But look at the bigger picture and ensure that you get joy from the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And that for me is so important.
Absolutely incredible. That's how we're going to wrap it up. Prof, once again, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And thank you for kicking off this incredible series. I think there's no better way to kick it off than with the iconic Prof Sarah Gravett, right, team?
Of course. Definitely.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much. Got some more music on the way.
Thank you very much.
UJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.